great future. We're talking real money.
Well, it was bad enough before we listened to the news. Now it's even worse. I mean, we've had a terrible week for stocks. Just terrible. That was going to be our top story on today's radio program, soon to be a podcast. But now we also have the Middle East unraveling worse than it unraveled before. So I hate it when it feels like the world is coming to an end. Everybody gets grumpy. Hey there. Welcome to Talking Real Money, where we're going to talk about how all this stuff impacts your money. And we would like you to join us at 855-935-TALK if you'd like to get involved and ask a question or comment on something. 855-935-TALK. That's every Saturday from 3 to 5 Eastern, noon to 2 Pacific. 855-935-8255. I'm Don McDonald. Over there in the Seattle area is Tom Koch. And we're going to talk a little bit about what the market did this week. I don't like talking about what the market did in the last week, Tom. I don't like it.
I know. You're diametrically opposed.
I am opposed.
You're jumping up and down. Let me tell you,
until you told me, I did not even know it went down.
Yeah. And it didn't go down. It went down a lot. I mean, you heard.
Okay, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, it's for stock investors, the worst week of 2024. And I think there's been like, what, 12 of them or 13 weeks or something? I mean, so this is big deal, big news. The major index is down over 2% each this week because you mentioned, you know, geopolitical things. You mentioned domestic economic matters, right? Price pressures. But here's my favorite quote out of all this. This is really good.
I'm glad you have a favorite because I don't.
This is really good from Harvard economist Jason Furman. He told CNBC this week, "Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me." He says, "We've now had 3 months in a row of print coming in above just about what everyone expected. It's time to change the way we think about things going forward."
What does that mean?
Right? That means everything is what it means.
What is everything?
It means quit trying to predict what's going to happen with interest rates, with prices, with
stock prices. Well, why didn't he just say that?
Well, because he's an economist. This is Harvard speech.
He should have said, hey, folks, quit trying to predict stuff. There. Yeah. Good. Thank you. Now go about your day.
A school that was established in the 17th century. I mean, there's got to be a little more, you know, mystic to the whole thing. But he's absolutely right, because remember when we started 2024, we were going to get, I don't know, 6 or 7 rate cuts, and then it went to 3. And now it's, I guess, if you believe the futures markets, it's at like 2. And some people are saying none, right?
And some of them will be somewhat right at some point in time.
Exactly right.
I'm trying to do as much economist speak as I can.
I know.
Somebody somewhere will be right sometime.
Yeah, exactly. But what that's all meant is, as I said, stocks don't like uncertainty.
No, they hate it.
And the S&P 500, which had been up near record highs, is now only up year to date, Don, 8.2%. Only 8% year. I mean, that's kind of a tough one.
Here's the bright side of life.
Please, always looking for it, as you know.
8% year to date.
Yeah, 8.2
translates
actually
into
times 4,
30 some odd percent annually.
That would work.
Yeah, that annualizes out really well.
Yeah. Well, you know what I find fascinating now? It's going to be fun because if you noticed the week prior when we were at all the record highs, all the prognosticators saying we're resetting our new mark for the end of the year. It's going to be higher than what we thought. I wonder now after this last week.
Now it's going to be lower than what we thought.
And what are we going to do?
You know, if Iran attacks Israel, it's going to be the world is coming to an end and we'll all be dead soon. And again, someday, somewhere, somehow, you're going to be dead. Pretty sure.
And then you won't care what the price of anything is, right?
Yeah, it'll be up to your kids or your grandkids to care about that.
There you go.
And then they'll be dead someday, too. This is my new gloomy outlook on life.
This is very cheery. It's spring.
By the way, there is very little chance you will see a 30% return for stocks in any given year. So please put that right out of your little heads. As a matter of fact, one of the things we want to talk about today is the realistic expectations, things that are, there are reasons to expect certain things on average over time. You just can't predict when stuff will happen or how big it will be. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
In medicine, a second opinion might save your life. With investing, a second opinion might save your future. The trick is getting one without a high-pressure sales pitch. Well, I'm Don McDonald, and if you've been listening to Talking Real Money, you know that our goal is to help everyone create a brighter future by investing and managing money better. That's why, in addition to helping everyone on our show and podcast, we are also committed to making our 100% fiduciary advisors at Appella available to help everyone make the best financial decisions based on science. So if you're being pitched a financial product or a system, make sure you get a second opinion with no cost, no obligation, and no annoying sales pitch by going to TalkingRealMoney.com or call 800-386-3004. That's 800-386-3004 or TalkingRealMoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
And our phone number for you to call us live, if you're listening to the show on Saturday, or if you're just calling on a Saturday, is 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. I'm Don. That's Tom. And good thing we got film material. Is that a nice day I see out your window?
Yeah, it's kind of shocking here in just barely mid-April, and we're going to be 60 degrees. So
it's not the season for that.
I know. And that also then requires the mowing of the lawn, which, as I get older, becomes a more major thing every time.
You sure you're not thinking maybe a condo down the road? Something with a little less acreage.
Exactly. Something.
Well, yeah. We were talking about we don't believe you can predict the future, but there are some reasonable expectations you can have overall over a longer period of time. And there was a fascinating piece in the Washington Post by Rachel Siegel, their economics editor, that is a quiz. And I love quizzes.
I know. We're good at these, too.
I love quizzes. This quiz I have entitled Dream a Little Dream of the Economy.
Okay, can I make us, before we get to the quiz, one little editorial point that I'm tired of seeing?
In the show?
No, in the media.
Yeah.
Among other complaints. But the one I'm most complaining about,
you complain all the time.
They keep saying it's getting old.
Oh.
They keep saying, red hot, overheated inflation.
Where does it say that in the article?
Every article I almost read says that.
Oh, and you're going tangential again.
Just quickly, because I hate to break it to you, but
don't worry about me.
3.5% a year inflation is not red hot inflation. All right. Now, it is significantly higher than it was for a 10-year period where you all got used to basically no inflation, but it is not. And
but that's because we have a recency bias.
I've been 3% a year is about the average going back like almost 100 years now.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty close.
That's kind of a long track record, so get over it.
And speaking of inflation, now this question's not about inflation per se. It's about part of inflation. There are two parts to inflation. There's the price part and the wage part.
Yeah.
They kind of go together. So here's question number one, Tom. You have not taken the quiz yet, have you?
No, I did not take it. I saw it because you sent it to me, but I did not take it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So this is about dreaming a little dream of
this
the
is
economy.
Me. I get to be the Federal Reserve now. I get to be the,
you do.
The people you're the, that make
you're
the big decisions.
You're the MBA, PhD guy.
About time.
Yeah. So how much would prices go up or down in your dream economy, Tom?
Annual rate of inflation.
Yeah, of course. Not annual rate of inflation. Annual rate of price increases.
2.5.
Let's dial that up and see how you do.
What did I win?
Well, last year, prices were up by 3.3.
Okay.
And so you're pretty right on. 30% of readers chose a similar number.
Smart people.
And economists and policymakers are shooting for a 2% number.
Yeah, which is, again, I love the ambition, but that's been very hard to meet that low standard. That's all.
Yeah. So yeah, basically, though, we're in the realm of reasonable right now. If they go a lot higher, then you're going to see the Fed push against them. But for right now, because they're in the hanging out in the reasonable price range, the thinking is the Fed's just going to hang in. Now, how about the other side of the coin? How about wages? What do you think wages should dream economy? How much should wages go up?
And since I'm, you know, in the business of hiring people, I think we should they should go down. I think we should pay everybody less. Is that okay? Because I'm the boss and I want to pay you less.
Well, no, you can't do that. There is no negative.
It's
from 1.4, which is the lowest in the past 30 years, to 5.1, which is the highest.
We'll make it simple. We'll go with 3. I was teasing. We'll go with 3%.
3% is your answer?
I won't do well with the unions, I know.
Well, wages rose 4.3%. They rose at a faster clip than prices last year.
That's good.
And actually, 60% of respondents thought wages should grow less than that 4.3. So you're right there in with the pack. You're pretty.
I'm a middle child. Yeah, I'm trying to get along with everybody if I can.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Sure. How about gas prices? How much would gas prices change in your dream economy over the, and this is compared to the last 30 years? By the way, the low. 27 negative, a decline of 27, high, an increase of 37. So gasoline is a much more volatile compound many ways.
And here's the good news for me.
Yeah.
I haven't bought a tank of gas now. I just looked it up in 5 weeks.
You are not putting very many miles on that car.
No, I'm putting the miles on, but
you're not going very far.
I drive. I don't have to go far. It's, you know. Anyway,
yeah, wait till you take a road trip. It'll be different.
Yes,
all right, so what would you pick for your number, your dream economy number?
I will say, because gas, you know what? I'll say 4%.
4%, he says. Last year, gas prices actually went down 10. Believe it or not, despite all the grousing.
Year over year. So you're saying 23, they went down by 10.
They went down by 10, and 80% of readers picked a much higher rate, like where you came in. The point they're saying is that they're really volatile. They're all over the place.
Don't understand. I thought we had moved to this place where now with the fracking and the rest of it, that we had more oil than we needed, and we were going to be exporters.
We're energy independent.
Are we?
No, we are. We are. The fact is that the global prices, though. See, our oil is priced in a global marketplace.
I see.
So it depends on what's going on around the world. Prices went way up when Russia invaded Ukraine because they're a major supplier of oil and sanctions and all that. So, but they've come down from that. So how about this question, which I find very telling. In your dream economy, Tom, how many Americans would have $400 saved for an emergency?
How many or how many households?
What percentage of American households?
I'm going with 100%.
You know, that's exactly what I answered.
Come on.
But you can't answer that.
You
can't give that answer.
99.
The highest you can give is, believe it or not, 68%.
That's tragic.
Because in 2022, 63% of adults
could meet
had more than $500, more than $400 saved.
But
that means 37% did in an emergency fund.
In an emergency fund.
Yeah, in something they could use. That means a checking account, a savings account, a money market account, whatever it is.
Yep.
Can you pull $400 cash in an emergency? 37% of Americans cannot muster up $400 cash.
Four out of ten. Yeah.
Thus, we have payday lenders. This is why we have them.
People pay 200% annual interest.
Right. Thus, you borrow that $400 for the emergency.
And you never get out.
The next year, you owe them $600 if you don't make payments.
Right. I know. Or worse.
That is really, actually, that is truly sad.
Yeah, it is.
That's one of the sadder numbers I've heard, that that many people don't have money saved.
Ugly.
Now, we only have a couple of questions left. If you'd like to chime in with your opinion of these numbers and where you think they should be, give us a call, 855-935-TALK. If you have a question about money, saving it, spending it, investing it, earning it, any of those things, call the same number.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Hello again. Welcome back. This is the Money Show, where you actually get information that you can use to manage money. It may not be the information you want, but it's the information that is actually pretty close to correct based on research and data, not based on, we try to squeeze all of the emotion out of managing money on this show. And there's a lot of emotion involved.
That's just a lot of bad information.
Bad information.
I looked at a portfolio yesterday where somebody's paying 2% a year, and they have 23 stocks that somebody bought for them 15 years ago.
Well, that must be a major brokerage firm if they're paying 2% per year.
I don't even want to say which one, but it's just it's outrageous to me. There's a lot of stuff like that where it's awful. So, yeah.
All right. Now, this one is curious. The question is, what is your dream mortgage rate? Now, before I ask you for your answer, their range, and this is curious because we both did better than this. They're saying the lowest. Saying the lowest rate in the last 30 years has been 2.7%, and I know for a fact I beat that. Yeah, I'm at 2.5.
Yeah.
I know we've both beaten that, and the highest rate over the past 30 years, 9.3.
So now, I can tell you, in 1984, I had a 13.7%.
That's not within the 30-year window.
Right. I guess I'm so old that I go outside.
You're so old. You're old. Right. So, what's your dream mortgage rate?
I'll say 5.
Okay, that sounds like it sounds like a reasonable number.
Thank you.
The rate at the end of 23 was 6.4. And almost all participants chose a rate closer to yours. So that historically, rates have been over the average over the past 30 years has been about 4%. But it says if you're a generation older, that would be you.
Ouch.
You remember paying nearly 20%.
Yeah. As I said, I was close to 14. You know, and here's the thing about, please quit, as we said at the top of the program, please stop trying to game interest rates. If you want to buy a house, it's not a great time because there's limited inventory. I get that. Rates are higher. They're not historically high by any stretch.
No, not you should not be going 50 to get year historically
your,
high. No.
No, looking at your lifestyle, what fits your lifestyle. So it's not a good time, but it's also not the worst time. I'll put it that way.
Okay,
that makes you feel better.
In your dream economy, what would the return annual return for stocks be?
Oh, I don't know, 60%? No, kidding.
Highest is 37.
Okay. And lowest?
37. Negative.
Oh, well, I don't want that, because year over year, 37% decline can be
means you're broke in 3 years, less than 3 years.
I'll go with the traditional 10%.
Yeah, I thought that was where you were going to go. Traditional 10%. And last year was 26 positive. Last year was a very, very good year.
People have already forgotten that.
Wow, what a great year it was. Generally, they don't give a number. They say the market trends up. And it's funny. They said 80% of readers chose a figure below the S&P 500 performance in 23. I would hope so. But, you know, it's curious. Imagine. When you mentioned 10%, I was thinking about that. If inflation is at 3, and we talked about economic growth or growth at a certain rate, Oh, yep. No, we haven't gotten to that yet. That's next. We talked about wage growth. Let's talk about economic growth before I bring this point up. How fast would your dream economy grow annually?
4%.
That's a decent number.
Yeah, it's moderate, but it's still pretty hot in
last
terms
year
of history.
It was 2.5.
Yeah, right.
Basically, gross domestic product doesn't increase as much as we would expect. And that's what's really interesting. It calls you a clear-eyed optimist, by the way. It says you're an optimist.
Well, you knew that. That's...
Yeah, I knew that. But here's what I was getting to. The fact that we have had a 10% per year average annual return for U.S. equities over the last 100 years almost.
Basically, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense. And I'll tell you why in a minute.
Because there's an aspect of speculation built into that number. Yeah, it's not purely the
I know,
numbers.
But
yeah.
But just on a pure sensibility basis, I want to talk about what that real number ought to be.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
855-935-8255. That is a telephone number. For those of you who don't remember what those are. I know you still use them, but for texting. You can still use it for speaking. Seriously, you dial that number, 855-935-TALK, and you dial that between noon and 2 Pacific time on Saturday or 3 to 5 Eastern time, and magically, our voices can actually talk to one another. You can ask us questions.
Texts in to the same number? Will
no,
that work?
No, texts do not work on that number.
I'm just asking.
It's an old-fashioned digital computer line. No, it's old-fashioned digital.
Okay.
It's all VOIP. Remember?
Okay.
You don't even remember what VOIP? VOIP
no,
happened.
That was a stock or something.
It came and went so quickly you didn't even notice it. It was like dial up over copper and cell phones. And Tom went, "Oh, is there something in between?" Yeah, it was called VOIP.
I'm still working on my BlackBerry, so I don't really know what you're talking about. So.
And for him, it's actually a real BlackBerry. It gets a little squishy, and he has to get a new one.
Well, it's spring. There'll be a new one soon, so I'm ready.
No, black, fruit. Anyway, 855-935-TALK. Give us a call. Talking before the break about the return of the stock market. Now, there are a lot of things that factor into the return of the stock market, but one of our biggest arguments for being in the stock market is that it reflects the overall growth of the global economy. It reflects that. Now, if it actually totally followed that, you would expect that stocks would, on average, year over year, grow at about 5 to 7% per year max. Because when you factor in a 4% economic growth rate and a 3% inflation rate, that's
there
7.
You go. Yeah.
But they do better than that. And there's a reason why they do better than that. And Tom mentioned it.
Well, there's speculation. I just was watching somebody yesterday on financial television, which I shouldn't watch, but who was talking about NVIDIA and saying NVIDIA is like RCA. People pump because remember RCA were the ones responsible for radio 100 years ago.
Oh, heck,
and they
yeah.
had the radio stations and all that. But people pumped up the stock really fast at the beginning. He's saying NVIDIA is the same thing. People are thinking it's going to mean this much in revenue eventually, but they're putting all that into it today in terms of the stock price. So there's a lot of that when you invest in stocks, of course.
Yeah. RCA was the big player in radio. They owned NBC. Yeah,
that's right.
And they built
David
Sarnoff. They built all the radios and.
They had a vertical integration, as we used to call it in the day.
That's right. That's right. And a lovely little dog listening to a. An old-fashioned...
My dog never listens. Do your dogs listen? They bark. They don't really listen, though.
Oh, no, my dogs listen. Your dog doesn't listen.
No.
No, but my dogs, bam. You know, they'll bark, but a command, it's like, oh, sorry, Dad's mad. Okay.
Which, the dog I can kind of take, but when my wife today said, your show starts at 11 today, right? Good luck.
How long have you been married? How long have you been doing this show?
Not long enough.
When did we start doing this show on Como?
Not long.
On Como, this previous
It's been more than a decade.
It's been more than a decade.
That I know.
Now, we did it on some other stations before that.
We did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lots of other stations. I think we've been on every news talk station, except one, I think, in Seattle. Or have we been on all of them? Have we been on that other one?
I think the other big one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. No, not the FM.
Yeah,
no. Never been on that one.
Okay.
I've been as a guest on that one, but I've never been.
But pretty much all the news talk AMs, we've been on all those. Yeah. We've had shows on all of those.
Yes, we did.
Even ones that don't exist anymore.
That's right. You're right.
See? For some reason, we're famous in Washington. Not anywhere else necessarily, but Washington, we're pretty popular. And we hope we're popular with you. And you call us at 855-935-TALK, just like Richard did. Hi, Richard. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. So the question I have is basically a fiduciary question. When I used to work with our Fidelity person a few years back, I'd say, oh, are you working as a fiduciary for us? He said, well, if you want me to, I will. And so we've had that agreement, so to speak, for quite some time. So this last time when I chatted with him, he said, I asked him, I said, do you act as a fiduciary if we want you to be? He says, well, no. He says, if you give us the money and we run the portfolio for you, yes, we will be a fiduciary.
And but you raise a great point, and I need you to hang on with me just a minute, Richard.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Do you suffer from hodgepodgeitis? I'm Don McDonald, and hodgepodgeitis is a disease of your investment portfolio whose symptoms include lots of stocks, loads of random loaded mutual funds, and maybe an annuity or two. Most who suffer from hodgepodgeitis dread opening their quarterly portfolio statements. They feel lost and confused. Investing seems overwhelming and the financial future uncertain. If you believe you suffer from hodgepodgeitis, see a 100% fiduciary investment advisor immediately. A proper diagnosis is the first step to creating a portfolio with a purpose based on a personal plan. Start on the road to recovery now by scheduling a free meeting with an Appella advisor at TalkingRealMoney.com. There is no cost, obligation, or high-pressure sales pitch. Take the first step at TalkingRealMoney.com or call 800-386-3004. Hodgepodgeitis is not a real disease, but treating it has been shown to improve mood, reduce fear, and even lead to a brighter financial future. Results may vary.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Well, this is a most interesting question that came into us at 855-935-TALK. Most interesting indeed. Richard is on the line with us, and Richard works with Fidelity, the brokerage firm, wirehouse. They are also advisors and brokers and dealers and wheelers and whatever they are.
Vertical integration.
Yeah. They have funds. They do everything. Anyway, Richard asked his broker, are you acting as my fiduciary? And this is the first time in my 37-year career on money radio, 40-plus-year career in the business, that I've actually heard someone tell the truth, Richard.
He's telling
the truth. He can act as a fiduciary if you want him to. But in your relationship where he buys and sells the things you want, he is only acting in your best interests.
And right. So we have a number of mutual funds, some just regular mutual funds and some index funds and so on and so forth. But as I mentioned, in years past, he would say, yes, if you want me to, I will do that. But this last time when we talked to him, he said, no, unless you have your money turned over to us where we act as your actual person managing the fund.
That is correct. That is absolutely the way most fiduciary relationships work in this business, is that you have them manage your account. You give them a limited power of attorney to do things on your behalf that they believe are in your best interests.
And out of curiosity, what do they want to charge you for that?
Oh, I don't know, because we've never looked at that. I've just done it pretty much on my own. And when we talk to them every year, a year and a half, they'll look at what we have and they'll say, well, you know, you can take a look at this, or I might suggest this ETF, which we did. And so I take that information and I cogitate on it for quite a while, and either I make that decision to do it or I say, no, I'm not going to do that. So I'm kind of getting advice from him, but he's not pushing the issue to try to get me to buy and sell stuff.
Which is good. Yeah. And how old are you, Richard?
81.
Oh, sound great. And so you have figured out then, and this is the part where I think most people do need an advisor, how to withdraw money, how to live off of the money that you've saved and do that in a the most tax-efficient manner possible. Apparently, you figured all that out.
Yeah. Right, have.
Which is awesome. I mean, that's the toughest part, of, I think, for most people. It's not the portfolio construction because, heck, we give out free portfolios on our website, Paul.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of that. But it's when you get to retirement and you got to start living off the money, you got to claim Social Security, there's a lot of other factors, then most of the time I say at least see an advisor, probably have them write a plan, and then for most people, again, have them manage your money so that you can take the money out in the most efficient manner possible. But well done. And again, we've got to say something nice about Fidelity here.
For being honest.
Really good to hear. Yeah, that's pretty straightforward advice.
Yeah.
The other piece of advice that I got from when I was working for Boeing years and years ago, they said to you'll be in a lower tax bracket when you start to draw your minimum requirement distributions. That didn't happen.
Right.
Usually when you save enough over the years, you end
Guess
up
what?
In a higher tax bracket.
Yeah, I think that's
not a killer either. But I do have one additional question, and it has to do with IRAs and money that we put in IRAs way, way back that was after-tax money. And so consequently, you have to fill out all the right forms and take out after-tax money as well as pro-tax money. Is it possible to take out all of the after-tax money that you put in principal and leave just the interest on that and the pre-tax money in your regular IRA, or can you not do that?
No, because everything that comes out, it's not going to matter, because everything that comes out of an IRA is taxable.
But he's talking about after-tax. So you're talking about a Roth or a really, truly after-tax account?
This is a regular IRA that for 4 years way back in the 80s, we put in the regular amount that we were allowed to, but then we put in some after-tax money also as principal to go in there and help build it up.
You're not supposed to do that. No, you still have the limit, though, whether it's...
Correct.
Yeah, okay, so you put in a deduct... How much did you put in the... Like, give me an example from one of these years. How much money did you put in over that in that year?
Oh, we might have put in $1,100, $1,200 per person for my wife.
Okay, so you put some in that was deductible and some that was not deductible.
Correct.
I've never run into this, ever.
That's very unusual. Yeah, just like the Fidelity Advisor stuff we don't hear about
often. I would
often.
Tell you, but I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
And I don't think Tom does either.
No, I don't. Mm-mm.
Because I've never in my life heard of this. And I've done this a couple of days.
Here's the thing I've learned about getting a little older. Just do it. You know, people argue, like, look at that old guy. I'm just going to let him do it. That's the way I look at life now, because people look at Don and I just, it's okay.
Way back to the 80s, you know, so every year you got to fill out the 8606 forms and how much of it is taxable and how much is it not. And I thought maybe if I could get away from that by pulling out all the principal that I originally put in that was taxable.
I'm going to say no, but that would be a wag. I don't know. I really don't. So.
Okay, well, I guess I'm done stumping you guys.
Now you've stumped us and amazed us. So we've been both in one show.
stumped and amazed.
Sounds like a rock and roll song.
Which doesn't take
for old
much
people.
These days.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's a rock and roll song for rock and rollers in walkers. I'm stumped and amazed.
Exactly. Thank you for your call, Richard.
855-935-TALK is our phone number. 855-935-TALK. I found Fidelity's ADV finally. They have like 15 previous wealth
pages?
Advisors that they've all canceled. And, you know, anyway.
Of course.
Under their Fidelity Wealth Services banner, which they have lots of things.
Now
but under their Wealth Services... Their fee is 1.1% annually.
That's not horrible.
That's a mutual fund ETF portfolio.
Yeah.
Under a more private wealth kind of thing, wealth management and private wealth management. The customized.
Like,
this one includes more advising and discretionary investment.
1.5.
Anyway, 0.5 to 1.5. Look at you.
Okay. Well, it's just a guess. I, you know.
and
like
then
the money coming
up to
out
an additional
IRA.
Fee of 0.4 for management of certain individual security strategies.
Well,
so it can be as high.
They're going to be doing stuff to try
fancy.
To help your tax
fancy
situation,
stuff.
Hopefully. Yeah.
So anyway, I got that for you.
Interesting.
Anybody
Richard,
wants
thank
that.
You. Great call. Great
it was
call.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I because
Take
we
the
hear
money,
so many times.
Yeah.
But no, about the fiduciary thing.
Yeah, no.
Most
great.
People call and say, my advisor's with Ed Jones, and he says he's a fiduciary. Well,
always.
He might be, and
yeah.
he might not be, or she. Or, you know, with Raymond James, always a fiduciary. Might be, might not be. But you see, as a firm, the key is if you want to work with a firm where you don't have any ambiguity.
Exactly.
A firm that. The firm always treats all of their clients as if they are looking out for your best interests. And that doesn't mean, and we've talked about this a lot, that doesn't mean that they will never have a conflict of interest because we're humans. We all have conflicts. The trick is the disclosure thereof. And when they lie to you from the get-go,
guess what? Yeah.
Well, then how can you trust any future disclosures? This person from Fidelity, kudos. I would trust
tomorrow.
Them because they told the truth to begin with. 855-935-8255. Call like even now.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
We love answering your questions. As a matter of fact, I found this interesting fact of the top 10 podcasts that we've had over all time.
Oh, the most downloads?
The most downloads over all
yeah.
time. 5 of the top 10 are just the Q&As.
Which are, that's my favorite one. It's every Friday where you get on the
but
blower.
I find it fascinating
people.
That not only do we like doing the Q&As,
that's what
but
people
listeners
listen to.
Like hearing the Q&As.
They get to look into people's lives. It's kind of that weird, like, I really like
yeah,
seeing
well,
what somebody else is thinking
when
about.
When it comes
yeah.
to the Golden Bachelor, I don't want to look into their
well,
lives.
Let's not do that. Divorce after 3 months? Okay.
It'll be an easy property settlement.
Sure. How much do you get? Well,
none.
Not much. Here's a question. Ryan from San Anselmo, California, which I believe is not on your list of places to visit this summer.
No, because we're turning. I was going to go through California, but we're turning because Debbie convinced me to go to my stupid 50th high school.
Wait, there's still people alive and stuff?
50th high school reunion.
That's cool. I
no,
want to see
not.
The pictures of that.
Yeah.
Ryan says...
Oh, wait, I'm
That's
sorry.
Don McDonald.
I couldn't see well enough. That's not you, is it?
That's not you. Ryan writes, in addition to maxing out retirement savings, well done, I keep a 6-month emergency fund for use in a lost job situation or other unforeseen calamity. That's perfect.
Good.
But I'd like to save some additional money for purchases like a new car or vacations. We could take a bit more risk with this kind of savings since the spending would be optional and the time horizon is probably 2 to 5 years
Ooh.
Or more. Do you have a recommended strategy or portfolio for investing this type of cash?
We're going to have a difference of opinion here, which is good. It's healthy. This is a scenario in which I would absolutely go with a bond ladder, a CD ladder or a bond ladder, one or the other, treasuries or CDs, because you're going to have 20% of the money rolling over every year. So it's like, oh, I'm going to use it this year. Or if you're not going to use it for a while, you roll it back in. That way, 20% of the money every year comes available, and you're going to earn currently, you're going to get an average rate of about 4.6 or something, 4.4.
What'd you think I was going to say?
BND.
Yeah. And it's not because your strategy probably wouldn't end up making people more money.
We don't
and
know.
Of course, it has no volatility.
It's no volatility.
Right. I mean, which is great. It's just that so few people I run into can do it. I mean, they setting it up, following
yeah. oh, no.
up, it takes a amount
it
of
is,
work.
It is a challenge. And yeah, the nice thing is Schwab has a bond laddering, or a CD laddering tool, I should say, that's quite good. I've used it.
I
it's
know.
Quite good.
There's so few people I
but
talk
it,
to.
But it requires just, discipline.
Yeah. It's not just the discipline. It's kind of the know-how. So, yeah, I would say BND, you could go something
BND
shorter.
Is certainly easier.
You could do, what is it, BSV? I think Vanguard has a shorter
short, yeah.
shorter duration,
or go with the with an intermediate treasury, which is going to give you a duration of about 5 years.
Yeah, something
somewhere around there.
Any of those, I think, would be fine. I mean, again, the key here is, I think, what people are saying is there a way to make more money on that money? We're always going to try to do that because you're going to lose.
Yeah,
you don't want to lose that.
You
money.
Never want to game it. You want to make it. You want to make it low volatility, so it's comfortable. You want to. You want to get what the market will give you, but with a high degree of safety, because it is money you are going to use. The plan is to use it sometime within 5 years, which means you can't wait out a bad market. And if you need more help managing your money, go check us out, talkingrealmoney.com.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast were current on the date recorded. Opinions, estimates, forecasts, and statements of financial market trends that are based on current market conditions constitute our judgment and are subject to change without notice, including any forward-looking estimates or statements which are based on certain expectations and assumptions.
Although information and opinions given have been obtained from or based on sources believed to be reliable, no warranty or representation is made as to their correctness, completeness, or accuracy.
Information presented on the podcast is not personalized investment advice from Appella Wealth. The views and strategies described may not be suitable for everyone.
This podcast does not identify all the risks, direct or indirect, or other considerations which might be material to you when entering any financial transaction.
Past performance does not guarantee future results, and profitable results cannot be guaranteed. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. The podcast is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Wealth, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Please see Appella Wealth's ADV Part 2A on our website for information regarding Appella's fees and services.
Appella Capital, LLC, DBA Appella Wealth, is an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The firm only transacts business in the states where it is properly registered or excluded or exempt from registration requirements. Registration with the SEC or any state securities authority does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Appella does not provide tax or legal advice, and nothing either stated or implied here should be inferred as providing such advice. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and important disclosure related to performance of any specific index or fund quoted in this podcast. Oh, I think I need a nap.